been inspired recently to look into having power with God. And to have power with God is something that I find is very, very important. It's very something that I want. There are times that in our life that we want some, if we want to find favor or acceptance in a person's eyes, sometimes we're looking for somebody that has some inside connections or some power. You want to try to get a gain employment at a particular place. Sometimes you want to know someone that knows someone. I want to have a relationship with God that has some power in it. So this morning, I want to, last Sunday, we ended up talking about the power that comes from obedience and having power with God that way. And this morning, I want to talk to us about the power of trust. I'd like to begin in the book of Proverbs, in the third chapter, in the fifth verse. And some of what I'm going to say today, with the help of the Lord, may be above your pay grade. You know what that's talking about. Sometimes we have places in our job that somebody comes and says, you need to buy some new tires for this truck that you're driving, and and you say, well, that's above my pay grade. You know, that's not, I'm just a truck driver. I'm not the person in charge of the maintenance. So some of what I say may be above your pay grade. It may be something that your relationship with the Lord, it's up there. And so I'd like to begin here in Proverbs chapter 3 and read a couple verses. It says in verse 5 and verse 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust the Lord," it said, "with all thine heart." Well, don't lean to your own understanding. You know, it's very important to have trust in a relationship between two individuals. Marriage is built on trust. Families are built on trust or torn apart because of the lack of it. So I'd like to just spend a little bit of time talking about trust in itself. I believe that starting out to acknowledge that God created the world and created the universe that we live in, and all of that is right and good. And to proclaim that we are trusting God in our life is an honorable and right thing to do as well. And I believe that our level of power that we have with God is a direct proportion to our trust in him. So a direct proportion is one where when one thing increases, the other increases. We could maybe go down a rabbit hole of trying to explain what a direct proportion is, but I don't think that's too beneficial this morning. Just realizing that the more trust that we have in God, the greater power potential there is. Okay? So, not only does trust greatly enhance the power of the connection, but trust is probably one of the most fragile things that could ever be involved in a powerful relationship. Many times, I did it with my children, and I see other parents doing it, especially fathers, because fathers are more apt to do risky things with their children. It's just a fact. I have a little boy that climbs up on top of something, whether it's the refrigerator in the house or maybe it's out on top of the swing set or something like that, and a father can walk up and say, "Jump and I'll catch you." Well, a lot of times, we've got little boys here in the congregation, and a lot of times they'll jump. And all you've got to do is start out with them jumping just into your arms from maybe the back of the chair or the arm of the recliner or whatever, when they're really small. And as they get a little older, they're going to climb higher and they're going to jump farther, and because they trust their dad. And I could walk up, that's not their dad, and I could say, "Just jump, I'll catch you." Especially if they're jumping from the eave of the house or something like that. Probably none of these little boys would jump to me. They might jump to their dad, but they wouldn't jump to me because I don't have that trust built there with them. Okay? But all the father has to do is sidestep them when they jump and let them hit the ground one time. And that trust is gone. You think they're going to, "Brendan, would you jump the next time if your dad stepped out of the way?" No. I wouldn't either. It's pretty fragile. All you have to do, it's not like you have to fail three times. You know, if Brendan jumped three times and his dad stepped out of the way and just let him hit the gravel. And finally, Brendan says, "You know, I'm not sure Dad will catch me." Well, all it takes is one time, and trust is over. So trust is fragile. My parents, when I grew up, had a light in the backyard that was a gas light, natural gas. Natural gas came to town when I was pretty small, and before that, we had butane, a tank in the backyard buried. But natural gas came to town in the, I don't know, probably around 1969, 70, somewhere along in there. And so all of our houses got hooked up to natural gas, and it's just a real faint memory of mine. But in the process, natural gas was supposed to be so much more economical that you could have a gas light out in the backyard. It just almost cost nothing to run. Brother David's nodding. You probably know what I'm talking about. Had a little gas light out in the backyard. And this natural gas light had these little tiny mantles, they called them. They looked like little cloth sacks that hung on the little burner. And when the flame was going at night, they would glow really bright. And you could, the backyard was kind of lit up, kind of like a mercury vapor light. But they run daylight and day nighttime. They just run all the time because they were so cheap to run back then. Well, the problem was that it was a metal post. And because little boys like to run into things with their bicycles and their tricycles and whatever they're doing, maybe they're just scuffling, we bumped into the post. And guess what happens when you bump into the post on a natural gas light with those little mantles? That little mantle shakes. All you got to do is just shake it a little bit and it falls. And the light, you'd still burn gas, but the light was gone. You didn't have much light. And my dad had replaced the mantles multiple times because he had two boys that was always running into the post. And finally, he got a tractor tire like off of the back of the tractor, you know, about 5 foot tall, 18-4-38, and he put that around the post, and he put dirt in it and had a flyer bed there. But I'm here to tell you that if you hit that tractor tire just right with your bicycle, you could still shake the post and knock the mantle loose and put the light out. Just say it. Trust is fragile like that. You disturb trust and it goes away. But as long as trust is intact, it's a very powerful element in our life. Trust is built slowly. It takes a while. You start a child out when they're just walking age and teaching them to jump. When you say jump, I'll catch you. And by the time they're 6 or 7, the parent might say, I don't know, you're big enough, I don't think I want you jumping on me. But it's something that's built over years and over a time. And I want us to realize that God wants us to build trust with Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants, and this might be another message, but He wants to trust us. And He wants that trust to be built over the course of our life, to where it's something that it becomes very valuable to us. And it's not just valuable, it's very powerful to us. If our relationship and trust with other people sometimes is kind of like the commodity market. You know what I mean when I say commodities? The price of soybeans and the price of wheat and the price of oil and the price of... It's just one day it's up and the next day it's down, and there could be a whisper running through the world that the Strait of Hormuz is going to be open. going to be duty-free, and ships can come and go. And you know what? Before you can wake up tomorrow morning, oil prices have dropped $20 a barrel. It's just up and down, just all over the place because of something you hear about on the news. The news many times, just news, just somebody repeating a story about somebody predicting that it's going to be, it could be a lot of rain or no rain, and it could impact the harvest of whether it's corn or wheat or soybeans, and the price can change 50 cents a bushel. It's just, that's commodities. And sometimes trust is like that. Sometimes we don't know, I trusted somebody that last week, but I don't trust them this week. And it's just all over the board. Sometimes it's fleeting, trust is. And sometimes it's hard for us to earn trust. And sometimes it's hard to have it or to put trust in others. Because one time they let me hit the ground when they said jump, and the next time they caught me. And the next time they said jump and I'll catch you, I hit the ground again. Well, I don't know when I can trust and when I don't. And so sometimes in our relationships with other people, we feel like trust vacillates and it just goes up and down all the time. The Lord wants us to trust is something He wants us to build, and He wants to add to it a little bit every day, every week, every month, every year. He wants our trust to become to the place that it's something very powerful. He wants it in our marriages. He wants us to be able to trust one another to where our marriage relationship is something that's powerful. And that's one of the things that Christianity helps to produce in a marriage, that the world looks on and can't duplicate. You know, I was talking with some of the fellows I work with, and I just passed, they were younger than me, everybody's younger than me at work now, and I just told them, I said, something my mother told me when I was young was, beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes clear to the bone. And so you try to apply that. You know, none of us are as attractive at 60 as we were at 16. None of us. We've changed. If you don't believe that, let me go find our wedding pictures. Anita and I have changed a lot. My hair and her hair used to be a lot different. I mean, it's dramatic. And but if we have trust, we can have something. We were powerfully attracted to one another, or we'd have never got married. But that power in our relationship needs to be built on something more than something that's just skin deep. It's got to go all the way down. And the ammunition that we have to build a solid relationship that has power many times comes through this component of trust. And when we have trust between us, husband and wife, there is something there that the world can't touch. And attacks from so many other outside forces don't have any effect on it because there is real trust there. It's powerful. That's the thing that I want us to get a hold of. So, a number of years ago, in fact, my first job in fixing cars, I worked with a man that was probably, could be used more for a bad example than a good, but I watched this happen, and it's been an outstanding illustration for many things down through life, and had a vehicle come in that every time that you would start it, the car, if you just, you know how your ignition key, at least on old cars, when you turn the ignition key and let go of it, it kind of sprang back. You know, it come back from the start position. Well, this vehicle would come in, and every time you would start it, if you just turn loose of the key, when it started, it would die. You start it, let go of the key, and it die. Start it, let go of the key, and it die. So to drive it, you had to start the car and then just kind of hold the key with one hand and drive it in. So they got there, and the customer, they pulled it in for this other fellow to work on, they wanted to show him what it would do. So he'd start and die, start and die, start and die. Must have started that vehicle 20 times. And after about 10 or 15, the fellow that was supposed to work on it, he just pulled out his little seat that he used when he worked on something down close to the ground. And he'd just sit down and put his hands and head in his hands, had his head down like that. The spouse of the person, the driver, the one that was demonstrating, said, "Aren't you going to fix my car?" And the fellow on the stool said, "I will as soon as he'll get out." You're going to have to start trusting me somewheres. I mean, you're going to have to turn loose of what you're doing, or I can't help you any at all. So I tell you these kind of things because I'm trying to impress on us how important trust is, how fragile it is, but yet the result of it is something that's so powerful. When people, I'm including myself in this, when we as individuals don't know how to trust, And there are people out there like that, that don't know how to trust. And they don't know how to build trust in other people. They don't know how to be trustworthy. Okay? Then anything they do is really just hope. Now, hope has its place, but the message this morning is about trust. And hope is to trust as winning at the casino is to financial planning. If you're just hoping something to be better and you don't have any trust, that's like trying to win at the casino for your financial planning. You know, I'm going to go to the casino and win me some retirement. Now, all of us here would say that's not a very good choice. It's not a very good plan. Although there have been some people that's done it. Would you agree? There's been some people that's done it. I don't know that it lasted for retirement, but they did it. So hope, just hoping. Just hoping that things will land right is not near as powerful as developing trust. Trust is fragile, but I'm going to tell you trust is powerful. Trust is something that will produce results, just like financial planning will produce results, having a plan. So I'd like to go to Psalms. Ultimately, we don't want to just talk about the word, but we want to talk about application. And the verses we read here in Proverbs said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. And I'm interested in us having a powerful relationship with God. And I believe one of the keys and the burden of the message this morning is that we would be able to have trust between us, between me and God the Father. I'd like to turn to Psalms, the 56th Psalm. And I would like to notice what the psalmist said beginning, I believe, in the first verse, Psalms 56. If I can turn the right pages. It says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. There's a lot of opposition out there. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now, it's one thing to instill trust in a child to jump into daddy's hands. It's another thing to It's one thing to teach and to train a child to jump to daddy for recreational purposes. It's another thing to realize that that foundation of trust can be extremely powerful and valuable if there is something catastrophic fixing to happen. If there's a fire in the house and you go outside and tell them to jump out of the window, daddy will catch you, then that trust that was developed becomes a very, very powerful thing. Agreed? And it says here, what time, fourth verse, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. The verse above that. It says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Well, that's I think we can come to this rational conclusion that it would be a powerful thing to be able to trust when we're afraid, right? But that seems a little bit counterintuitive to trust when we're afraid. It seems like trust is something that should... It seems like when it's a fearful situation, that's when trust would be challenged the most. Is it not? I mean, you know, when somebody comes and they say, why won't my truck start to me? And I had one recently. Got towed to the shop. It don't start. It had been very near to a lightning strike. Didn't strike the truck, but the lightning struck very near to this truck. So I start doing some testing, and I find out that the engine computer won't communicate. Well, it's got to have an engine computer. And then I substituted one that was good in the truck, and it still wouldn't start, and it needed another module on the truck. And then I was able to start it, and when I drove the truck out of the shop, I realized there's something wrong with the instrument cluster. I mean, this high-voltage lightning strike had caused multiple problems. You know, if your truck won't start, and I can fix it by tightening up the battery cable, you think I'm a hero, right? But if I tell you it's going to cost $4,000 to make your truck start again, then you need some trust, right? That's a fearful time to be in. I'm going to tell you, it's fearful on my end to be able to have to tell someone your truck won't run if we don't spend $4,000 on it. Your roof won't shed the water until we spend this much money on it. Whatever it is, those are fearful times. So it's so important to build trust when things aren't fearful. Okay? It's so important to build trust when things aren't fearful. I would like for us to look at a few places in the scripture where people seem to trust the God at times of, they could have been afraid. This psalm, the psalmist here, David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. You think how powerful that is to say not only to yourself and not only just to say it out loud, but to write it down. And then this is a psalm. This was a song like we sing. But they sang this psalm. This is a poem. Maybe it doesn't all rhyme in our language, but when it was written, I believe it was a song that they sang. They said this more than one time. We sing the songs in our book, the hymn books that we have here. We sing some songs more than others, and we know that some of our children have favorite songs, right? We sang one of them today. I think it's a good song, but he wants to sing that. If he has an opportunity, he wants to sing that quite often, doesn't he? So when we say something that, and we say it quite often, then that becomes a characteristic of us. Does that make sense? If we repeat something on a regular basis and mean it, we're not just trying to be funny. We're not. If we have a phrase. Remember years ago, the pastor that Anita and I had before we got married, he used to say something, and it was usually at a time of distress. And he would say, right is the pathway that leadeth to this. Well, he said it so much that I recognize that's part of his character. He believed that he had been choosing the right path, and it led him to something that he wasn't quite desirous of, but he was willing to face it because he believed the path he was on was right. There's a level of trust there. And for David to be able to write it down, and not just write it down in his diary, but to write it down in the words of a song, to say, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. To me, that tells me that's a very powerful thing. So I want us to look at something that David faced. Because I'm interested in knowing how we're supposed to do it. Because the times that I'm afraid is the least likely time that I'm going to trust something that I haven't proven. If you wives, if your husband came home with a harebrained idea and was ready to do something, because he listened to some guy he worked with or whatever, and you come home with this idea that you're going to quit your job and start whatever, telemarketing or whatever it was, many times the wife is going to say, whoa, hold on just a minute here. I don't know. I don't think this is going to work. You know, you have to have an very powerful trust between a husband and wife for a husband to come home and have a totally new change of occupation. And the wife says, okay, if that's what you want to do. That'd be a pretty powerful relationship. I'm just saying that. How are we supposed to do it? How are we supposed to be able to say, when trouble is here, that's when I'm going to trust the Lord? Because it's pretty easy to say, I believe God created the world. I trust the Lord to lead me and guide me and take me through life and all of that. When my belly's full and my car's not broke down and the house is paid for and you know, all of this kind of stuff, I trust the Lord. Well, sure, it's pretty easy to say that. But when things aren't so good, the psalmist said here, what time I'm afraid. Even when you don't let other people know you're afraid, he says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. I will trust the Lord. So let's look at Acts 13, chapter and 21st verse. We'll try to bring this to a conclusion here this morning, for this morning. It says, I just am reading this for the technicalities that's in this verse. It says, and afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. So the writer in Acts in the New Testament understood that Saul, the first king of Israel, had been king 40 years. You know how many years he was king before God didn't like him to be king? Not many. I don't know how many it was, but some people think it was maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. When he refused to be obedient to God, that was the story of the little children this morning. And God not only said through his prophet, the kingdom is going to be taken from you, but he used the same prophet to go anoint David to be king. David knew he was supposed to be the king when he was a young man. I don't know, was he 17? Was he 20? I don't know. He was the youngest of several boys, and he knew he was supposed to be the king. But he trusted the Lord to bring it to pass. And for most, I can say that with confidence, whether it was 20 years or 30 years, for most of Saul's reign, he made life miserable for David. Most of Saul's reign, David was avoiding conflict with Saul, knowing that God told him that you're going to be the next king. David had a lot of opportunities to take things in his own hands. David was the one that God blessed to take out Goliath with a slingshot. I saw something recently. Somebody was using a sling like David used and was slinging a stone and trying to hypothetically prove whether or not that stone could have traveled the distance and actually penetrated the giant's forehead with enough force to knock him out. You know, I think that's a waste of time, just saying. He could have shot the stone with he could have thrown it by his arm. And God could have brought the thing to pass. It was because David was obedient. Because David trusted God. David had learned to trust the Lord back when he was watching the sheep with the lion and the bear. We know those stories. You children know those stories. When it got to the giant, he was just another stepping stone in developing and cultivating that trust. And David had a powerful connection with God. That's ultimately our goal, is to have a powerful connection with God. And because he trusted him, because he trusted God, he took the sling and he went out, and that's all he had. And he went out to face Goliath, that had a sword and a shield and a spear and armor, protective armor. And David didn't have any protective armor. He just had his shepherd's clothing on and a little bag with 5 smooth stones. And the Lord was able to take that and accomplish something very powerful. And then after Goliath, David should have been the hero, right? Instead, Saul became jealous. And for the majority of his reign, Saul made it difficult for David. And David could have taken it in his own hands multiple times when he found Saul asleep. One time he even cut off part of his clothing. One time he took his water bottle and his spear, and his conscience smote him because he was so close to taking Saul's life, taking it in his own hands. And yet he trusted God, and when God made it come to pass, I believe David was fully qualified to be the king. You know, trust is a powerful element. And I want to bring it to a close right there, I believe. I want us to go home thinking about the accumulation of trust that David had built with God, to where he was willing to trust his future. You know, as a young man, I went to work for someone that had a business that I was exceptionally fascinated with. In fact, I wished I could have inherited it. gladly acknowledge that. He was my uncle's brother. He wasn't close enough kin to leave me anything. And he had some family of his own, but that's beside the point. He had equipment and machinery that I would, old saying is, I'd like to give my eye tooth for it. And he used to say things, drop little hints that maybe it could be mine someday. But you know, I never had trust with this person. It was difficult for me to have trust in this person. So I worked for him for a couple years while I was going to school. And in my senior year, I decided, I can't do this. There's no trust. There's no level of confidence here. So I quit him. I left that job. I went on to something else. But David could have, while he was afraid. Have you ever waited 30 years for something? Some of y'all might not even be 30 years old. Have you ever waited 30 years for something? Ever waited 20 years for something? David did. That's a lot of trust. You think he was fearful in those 20 years? I wonder if I'll die before I ever get to be king. I think he worried about it. I think there was thoughts that came to his mind, but he had built a level of trust with God that was powerful. And because he had that powerful connection with God, he was able to maintain his trust all through that time of persecution. It was a fearful time for him. I'd like to read the words of a song, and if somebody can sing it for us or help us sing it, that'd be great. And that title of the song is, I Still Trust You. You know, I think David met this when he was waiting to be king. The first verse says, I've seen the righteous man suffer pain when it looked like the wicked would go free. It looked like Saul was going to be king forever. And in my frustration, it just didn't seem right to me. I prayed for sunshine and you sent rain. I cried for healing, but only got pain. But I know your love will see me through. Lord, I still trust you. I still trust you, Lord, that you're able to guide me through this barren land when I don't know which way to turn or go. I still trust you, Lord, so let me hold to your hand. And the next verse says, I trust you because you've been so faithful to me. And you said in your word, child, I'll never leave nor forsake you. You said, lo, I'll go with you until the end. Your blood, it has cleansed me from all guilt and sin. Your promise I'll hold on to. Lord, I love trusting you. So I'll leave with this thought. Do we love, trust in the Lord? I believe David did. I believe it's a powerful thing. And I realize that it's very fragile. And I realize that the devil wants to come and shake our gaslight pole. He has figured out how to bump the pole and break those little mantles, even if we put some buffers around it, like my dad did. That was a big tractor tire, and there was a lot of dirt between there. And you would think that two little boys wouldn't figure out how to bump it hard enough, but we did. The devil wants to come along and bump your world and cause your trust to be broken. And I want us to realize that there have been others that have trusted God when they were afraid. You pray for me.